Online, you do not have to adjust your televisions. Chris did not just lose a foot in height and all of his hair. It is me. So most of you know me. I'm the guy that stands at the door. Well, today Chris is out at the door and I'm up here. So I just thank him for the opportunity to fill in for him while he was on vacation this week. And it sounds like him and his family had a great time. So today, I will guarantee you one thing. After today's sermon, you will walk away here with a new appreciation of Chris. Okay? So anyway, let me start with a story. Set it up real quick. 40 years ago, I was part of a small group. It was a Sunday school class. You remember the good old days when we all went to Sunday school? It didn't matter how old you were in Sunday school. And through that, those years of being in those relationships with those people, we stayed in contact over the years. And so I'm guessing it's been I'd say 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, we got together and we would randomly, maybe not every year, but we'd get together and just check in with each other and fellowship and see how everybody's doing and catch up. Well, this last time we got together, towards the end of the evening, after you've had food and fellowship and fun, and we start... Sorry. We start to talk about spiritual things. So let's say there was eight of us, and we just go around the circle, and each one just tell what God's doing in your life. So 10 years ago, I was 55. We were the youngest in that group. We've always hung out with older people. So I'm always the kid. But they were mostly 65, so about where most of us are now in retirement. And one by one, they would say, you know, we just are waiting to see what God has for us. And then the next one, yeah, we're just kind of waiting to see what God has for us. And it's like, oh my goodness, I see a trend here. Every person there was saying, I'm waiting to see what God has for us. So anyway, that's where I'm coming from this morning. I want to help you and make sure that we understand what our role is here, what God has planned for you, and the blessing that will come from that when you know that you are right where God put you. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this morning, this worship service that we were a part of. You are holy, you are good. Lord, right now as we open up your scriptures and start to look at some of the things that you've told us, that we can trust you and believe you, that we are a integral part of your plan, and that you have a plan for each one of our lives, as we soon will find out. So Lord, I just pray that you'll take these words and make them resonate within us. Wherever we are in our stage of life, Lord, we know that you are with us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, like I said, that story, those people, each one, wondered what it is that God has for me. What's my role? Where do I fit into God's plan? And so I think that each one of you, probably at some stage in your life, has been faced with the same thing. And so I'm going to address different categories of people in different stages of life, which hopefully represent you, and how God works through that and still has a plan for your life. So let's lay some groundwork here for Christ says in Ephesians, or Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh my goodness, how clear can you be? What were we designed for? And who equipped us? Oh my goodness, God equipped us for good works. And back before the council of time, he says, I've already got it prepared for. He set it in motion. So that means we get to look for those opportunities that he has already designed you to fill that need. So how exciting is that? I can't express enough how when you know that you are right in the middle of where God wants you and you are doing what God wants you to do and you get to be a part of the biggest plan, God's plan, how exciting that is for us. This is not in our own strength. This is all through Christ. He has equipped us and given us the opportunity. So just know that. He trains us up. So I can picture each one of you are able to think back in your life how God has been there at every point in your life. It could have been a trial. It could have been a good time, a good season. It could have been at the beginning of your walk with Christ, how he nurtured you and brought you by the hand. Yes, I'm a crybaby. I can't help it. All right. So, let me read Ephesians 4, 7 and 8, and verses 11 and 13. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and gave gifts to men. And verses 11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. This is the best part. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What other topic has ever had that behind it? This, do this, and it will lead to all fullness, the measure of God. Oh my goodness, all we have to do is engage. He's telling us and making it perfectly clear. Here's what you do. It's very, very simple. Just engage. I've got it. I've got your back. I've got it all laid out for you. Just do it. All right. So, like I said, in my life, I found those two keys very fundamental in my faith. That once I sat in church for 50 years, let's say 40 years, before I actually got it. It's like I sat there just like everybody else every Sunday, heard thousands of messages, and then I got up and left and went and did my week, came back, listened to another sermon. It wasn't until I was 50 years old that I realized I'm to be a doer, not a hearer. I had all the knowledge. I could recite it back to you. But I didn't do it. And so I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm not. And I'm not even beating myself up for not doing it. That's what God had laid out for me. And it's like I had to learn the hard way. But now, as I have learned those lessons, oh my goodness, what an urgency I feel that we need to be doing what we are set here to do. So just look around and see what's out there. The fields are ripe. And it's like, how much time do we have left? I don't know, I'm only 65, and I feel like I'm at the right at the edge, the precipice. I don't know how much time I got left. God knows. And right now, he's not done with me, and I'm glad for that. But anyway, I have a new sense of urgency. that wherever God wants me, that's where I want to be. All right, so let me shift gears a little bit here. Let's talk about a group of people, how this impacts them. So you have new believers. We have a few here, I'm sure, that are under 10 years of walking with the Lord. But then there's also those that were like me, slow starters. I was 50 before I got started. I had been a Christian since I was 12. So 38 years of sitting on the sidelines. So anyway, let me speak to those, because you probably have questions like, so what are these gifts you're talking about? You know, I've heard it in church, but I have no idea what you're talking about. Who gets these gifts? Are just the special people get those gifts? Oh my goodness, I got news for you. Each one of you here, if you believe in Christ, guess what you got? You got infused supernaturally with a gift. So anyway, let's look at scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Now to each one, that's all of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the wisdom of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one, just as He determines. You don't necessarily get to ask for what gift I want. Lord, I want that one. I want to stand on the stage. Oh, trust me, you don't want to stand up here. This is nerve-wracking. So, as you know, as we look around, of all the volunteers that we have here at Peninsula Baptist, we can, first off, I want to thank you all. You make this look easy. You make this service run so smoothly. You make it look so good. But there are so many behind the scenes and some up front, the worship team, the people in the back booth. But all through this church, when we were running on all cylinders, when COVID isn't shutting us down, the children's ministry, the deaconesses, the deacons, you just go down the list. How many people are involved in ministry here to make this work? So anyway, just keep that in mind. Each one is different, and God placed you here. So I don't know, again, I can't remind you enough how special you are to be placed by the Creator of the universe in Ocean Park, Washington, in Peninsula Baptist Church. He put you here for a reason. You need to find what that reason is, and I pray that you do. All right. So again, let me remind you, who gets these gifts? Every one of you. There's none that don't get a gift. Some will get more than one gift. Is it okay to ask for another gift? It certainly is. In fact, Paul tells the Corinthians, seek the more excellent gifts. They were getting hung up on a couple of different gifts that they for sure had, but he says, hey, look at these gifts. They're more excellent. Seek those. So it's okay to go after those and ask, God, give me those gifts. I'd like to be able to use those. So, like I said, once you understand where you are proportionally in proximity to God's will, that feeds on, I want to be there more. I like being there. So the excitement, the enthusiasm that sometimes we lack, just remember where you are. Oh yeah, how exciting is that? Kindle that, rekindle that flame again, that excitement that you used to have. Sometimes we get tired. I know I do. I can't even keep up with some of you guys. I don't know how you do it. I'm already feeling, my body's telling me, slow down. I can't do what I used to do. And there's people 20 years older than me. I just am amazed how God has given them so much strength. But I think it's because they have purpose. When we have purpose, it gives us strength. And just know that strength comes from God. Back to the different gifts. Corinthians 12 told us a little bit. Let's read Romans 12, 4 through 8. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is giving to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So as you've heard a couple of lists of different gifts that God has given, you may have heard one that sounds like, I wonder if I have that one. I do get excited when I help somebody or help share and help illuminate God's word to somebody that's asking questions. And you get that little bit of a, I enjoy that. Well, that's what a gift is. This is not something you do grudgingly. Oh my goodness, it's exciting to be used. He prepared you for that, and when you use it, you know that you're right where he wants you. So then you're gonna start looking for ways to exercise that muscle more and more and more. And that's what I would pray for each one of you here, that you find that sweet spot where God wants you and work those opportunities that come your way. Like I said before, they're already prepared for you. Just find them and engage with them, okay? All right, so now you know all the gifts. It's up to you to figure out which one you got. So how do you do that? Well, you can go on the internet, and you can take a test, and you can find out what gift you have. I don't think that's the best way to do it. I'll tell you the best way I know. Let me go back to that small group setting. When we used to be in small groups and we'd discuss the gifts, it's like, do we want to take a boring test? Nah. How about you've got 8-10 people that you know, that you've done life with, that you've prayed with, that you have a bond with? How about you ask them what they think your gift is? So we would pass a piece of paper around with your name at the top, and every person filled out the other person what they thought their gifting was. My goodness, that is the most true sense of knowing what your gift is. If it's already shining out and reflecting and people see it, I think that's a pretty good chance you have that gift. So anyway, I would, I'm just shamelessly plugging small groups. You'll see a trend here. I think small groups is very important. It's been very important in my life. And I think if you've never been a part of a small group, you're missing out on something. So anyway, like I said, I encourage you to get with people that love you, ask them what they think your gifting is, and I think you might be surprised. You may even have gifts that you never knew were there. All right, so like I said, find those ways that we can serve. And who are we serving? We're serving each other. We're serving God through that, but he asks us to serve one another. So again, I think we are told to love one another deeply. How can you love me if you don't know me? You need to get to know me. So as I serve you, I get to know you. And the more I know about you, the more I love you, I pray for you, I'm a part of your life. And I think that's the direction God wants me to go, and I think he wants us to go. To develop that bond within our body, take care of one another. And guess what? The world's gonna look at that and go, what do they got that's so attractive? I want some of that. So I think that's the reason. But it also builds this body up. Like we read earlier, it builds us up to the point of unity in the faith and the fullness of Christ and the full measure of the fullness of Christ. So I believe it's a very important thing that we need to get down, a discipline that we need in our life. So the more, like I said, the more we look for those opportunities, I think you're going to find more and more. All right? So now that leads me to a different classification of people. Not new believers, old believers. You've been doing this a while, but you find yourself in a new season. How many here have been through new seasons like, I didn't see that coming? It could have been a loss of a job. It could have been a sickness. It could have been a loss of a relationship. But most of you have already been through those difficult times, and we can look back and trust God was with us the whole time and that he brought us through. So I would say for those that are in a new season right now and feeling the weight of that right now and the questions that you have, God, how can you use me? You used to be so comfortable in your gifting, your service, and then all of a sudden, boom, something changed. I just encourage you that you will get through it. God will bring you through. I've only been here 3 years, and I'm sure your stories are all similar as you came to the peninsula to retire. That's a big step in our lives. It's like, but my identity is with my job, my career, and now I are retired. You know, what's that all about? So it takes time. We need to lean into God, and it's like ask him those hard questions. Where do you want me? And you find out he wants you right where you are, but he may be preparing you for something more. Something different. I know in my past where he has led me through hard, difficult times, I think God likes to show off, and he shows me something new. So I would encourage those who are in a change of seasons right now, be ready, keep looking, look for something new coming. He seems just to surprise me. And I'm sure he surprises you also. For instance, go back 6-8 months ago. Did anybody see the COVID coming? No. Well, trust me, the answer to the problems in your life, you didn't see them coming either. They're coming. I guarantee it. God is good. So be ready to look at new things. How can you use me, God? Well, this opportunity opens up. This need reveals itself to you. I used to like to have simple little slogans that I could live my life. You know, I wish it was that easy. But one of them was, do the next right thing and see a need, fill a need. And that made it easy for me. I was just at the beginning stage of this developing my muscle of service. And as that muscle developed, it's like, oh my goodness, I enjoy this, I love this, I want to do more of this. And so I know that you have felt that at some time in your life, and I see it every day. Don't get me wrong, this church is busy with people that are exercising their muscle. We have so much church going on outside of this building. It is so refreshing to see. But I don't want anybody to miss out on it. And I want everybody, if you remember Paul, when he's talking to a church and commending them for something good, he didn't say, you got that, so now work on this. No, he says, do it all the more. So that's what my encouragement to you is. You're doing great. Do more. Look for more opportunities. Help those around you that may not know where they fit. Again, I still think we need to look behind us at that next generation coming. They are going to fill our jobs, believe it or not. So like in business, you learn to train your replacement. And we will give this church longevity on the peninsula, strength, by bringing them up and training them to do what we are doing. So continually encouraging each other. And so if you haven't figured it out, I love to encourage people because it seems like you get the most bang for the buck. If I can encourage you to do more, I get to see visible fruit from that in your life. It's like, how cool is that? I don't have to wait very long either. I get to see it relatively shortly. Some of you know what it's like to plant a seed and maybe never see the harvest. But if you are an encourager, you will see the harvest because you will see smiles appear on people's face. You will hear thank yous that I needed that. How did you know I needed that? God knew you needed that. That's why. So anyway, I encourage you all to be encouragers. We need to help each other. We're not in this alone. This is a community. And so once we understand that fully, what more could we be doing? All right. Oh, dear. How am I doing on time? I still got an hour and a half? Okay, so let me talk to that group of people. Again, I had one other comment about the body. Paul uses the analogy of the body and how appropriate it is and how powerful of a picture that puts in our mind. As you look around this room right now, look how many body parts we got. God is so good. He placed each one of these body parts in these seats. And you have a function, just like a body, but it's the same function to get that body moving and going in the direction, same direction. We're working together, not against each other. And so, like I said, how appropriate to think of ourselves as that. We are a team. We are one body on one mission, guided by one spirit. So let's be about finding what that mission is. Is it just one thing? No. He's got lots of stuff for us to do. So anyway, I would love to have you just envision, what is it God has for us? What does he want us to do? Well, does he have the power to do anything he wants? Yeah, he does. So if he leads us in a direction, are we going to be afraid? Are we going to be shy? Are we going to be, oh, we can't do that? Not at all. We know he is powerful, and he has our good in mind, that everything he asks us to do is for his good and our good. So I would, like I said, I just want to encourage you guys, as we learn and develop each other, learn to be one body. and set visions and set courses that were placed in us by God. Now, I'm not telling you we need to build a new building. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about, what does God want? What is God's heart? Well, it's to reach those people. Let's go be about reaching those people. He wants us to go make disciples. Do you know how to make a disciple? We better learn. Let's learn how to make disciples. Like I said, I was sitting on the sidelines for 40 plus years. I didn't know what a disciple was. And then one day God told me, you need to go do something. And he gave me something to do. And so learning by doing is becoming a disciple. All right? So again, after you envision what you could see happening on this peninsula with everybody, let's say 200 members of this body coming together for one common purpose, what could we accomplish as we go seek the lost? We go deal with the least of these. As we go visit the sick, how about those in prison? I think we had one gal wasn't doing jail ministry. All of those things that Matthew, is it 7, that talks about, or 27, that talks about, you did those to me. If you did those, you did those to me. And it's like, oh my goodness, how powerful is that? So as we look forward to the ministry that this church and this body has, just know that those are the things that he has for us. And I am not saying you cannot do ministry inside this building. You can. This is a very good training ground to develop you. But I just want you to know that that ministry field is waiting for you out there. So your daily lives, those people you are in touch with every day, family members, friends that don't know Christ, that's the mission field. So that's what we are preparing you for to do. All right. And then to wrap this up, let me just tell you that as the elders of this church, we pray for you. And we would want you to experience the full measure of Christ and God's love for you. Just know that we are there for you to help you, help answer your questions, to help guide you. But again, we don't have all the answers. We have to look to God for some of these answers because I'm just a man and I don't have it all. Chris has a lot more than I got. But just know that as elders, that this is what we would hope that you would find for yourselves, that you would actually plug in and become a functioning disciple, that will cause you to grow and want to reproduce other disciples and to grow your faith. I can't imagine anything better. And hopefully I have painted a little picture to where you could maybe catch that excitement too. So as we go further from this day, just think on those things, pray, God, show me. Do you want me to use my gifts in a different way? Do you want me to, are you going to give me another gift? I surely would seek the more excellent gifts. But if you are not plugged in, I just plead with you, think about it. Tie in and watch what God can do. So I'll ask Joel to come up and close us out with one more song. Thank you, guys. You were very well behaved.